Right, it's time for our In Conversation series tonight, and I'm very, very pleased to welcome into the studio my special guest, Andrew Hesford. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening. Nice to see you, Cliff. It's nice to meet at last.
Indeed, yeah, indeed. We meet at last, and we've swapped messages and swapped CDs, well, I haven't sent you any of mine, like, but you sent me yours. you wouldn't want to listen to mine.
Still waiting.
Trust me. But yeah, it's good to have you here tonight, and at long last, and... I don't know whether you've heard any of our In Conversation series, but it's basically I ask the people to come in, do a couple of songs, have a bit of a chat, and it's a platform for local bands, artists, singers, and it's great to have you in here. But
oh, I've heard some of them.
Good.
I know Nicola, who you had in.
From
Above. There's a gentleman called Lewis who, you know, actually works at Vulcan Studios, where I've done some recording. And what it was that he told me that Nick was on, so I had to listen to that. And she's one of those people, she ends up where everybody wants to play with her, you know.
Yeah.
But it's great because you hear like another side of it, because often as musicians we all meet, but we never have a chance to talk as much as we would like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm quite impressed. It's nice to actually hear such support coming from Muggle Radio and, of course, from you.
Good. Well, it's I love it, to be honest with you. When I came on here, my remit was... I wasn't going to just sit here and play songs. I wanted to get people in here. And for me, it's a dream because I've got my own personal little gig going on, you know, so it couldn't be better, could it?
I know. All you need now is the stadium gig.
Well, you never know.
60,000.
You never know. One day, we start small, don't we? And then
we
go from there. So, I was very, very pleased to get hold of a copy of your CD a little while back, and I've been playing a couple of songs here on the radio from that, and it was just basically before we heard a song from you, to ask you a little bit about the process of that, because, I mean, I spoke to you briefly outside, and you said it took you a little while to put that together.
Oh, blimey, many eons. What it was that I'd written a number of songs over the years, but always thought, you know, when you think, I don't really want to play anything to anybody. And then I had a bit of a health scare some years ago, about 5-6 years ago, and I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now. Mm-hmm. And it was like all of a sudden my priorities changed. So one of the first recordings on that is If I Believe, which was from the March of 2013. Mm-hmm. And that was because I decided, right, we are going to have to do something with these songs. And originally it was very informal. Recorded at Stone Free Studios in Hellwood. It's
okay.
my kitchen. It's got a stone floor and it's free to use.
Brilliant,
you know?
I love it.
But everyone thought, oh, it's a Jimi Hendrix reference, and of course it is. But then we went into the Valley Community Theatre. I'd helped curate a music festival.
Okay.
And I'd done one recording with our friend Shirley Ellis, who, if you haven't heard Shirley Ellis, you must get her in.
Okay.
A brilliant vocalist, you must get her in. But the one thing about Shirley is that it was like... The performance, the recording was brilliant, and it was actually recorded for a film project, which isn't completed yet. And the next one was Reflection, which is the last track on the CD. And you know when you record something, you think, oh, there's no going back now.
Yeah.
I've done it now. And it was like, it took me a while to actually listen to it and think, oh, my goodness, I've done that.
Yeah.
But then when I realised I was sort of drifting a bit, and I thought, I haven't really devoted enough time. And then Judith came on the scene as my sort of confidant and also as my manager to give me a bit of a push and said, you better get on with this.
Okay.
Why haven't you recorded these? I said, I haven't had the time. Rubbish, you have got time. And so it ended up where from about the September of 2015 to about the October of 2017, every couple of months I recorded something.
Okay.
But what I would do would play them live, work them up live, and then think, right, that's the arrangement, and once I had it, that was what I was going to do with it.
Okay.
And it ends up where you can sort of see a process, but I deliberately mixed up the order of recording.
Right.
Because if you'd heard it originally in its order, you'd say, oh, that's progression. But each song's progression, I wanted them to stand or fall on their own merits.
Of course.
And also, it's having such friends around me, there's a heck of a wealth of talent out there. I can't make any claims for myself other than I try, but if you'd heard some of the people I had on that, there's a, you know, some brilliant musicians on that. I wouldn't like to name any sort of in particular.
Yeah.
Judith does a lot on backing vocals and things like that, you know, which this poor lady's gone, what are you going to make me do now? Well, you're in here, you might as well do something. And the same happened with a good friend of ours, Bob Swan. And Bob is a country and western artist of some renown, and he ended up coming in playing guitar and harmonica. And Brendan Marsh, who's a violin player, is brilliant. And then I have people like Rob Harrison, who plays with the Merseyside Improvisation Orchestra. And Dave Holden, who's a great local musician. He's one of those people who, he deserves a platform for his talents. Nobody's heard the best of him yet. Dave Galvin is also a great, great guitarist. He's one of those people who can plays the guitar in his sleep, almost. Yeah. But he does it so well. And then he goes, I think I could do it one better. And then there's Jack Lewis from the Wirral, who you probably will have heard of. Yeah. Jack Lewis is amazing. And let's see, I'm trying to think. There's a friend of ours, Gavin Hayes, who is one of these people. He doesn't have as much time as we'd like, but he's a brilliant musician. Yeah. All of these people contributed something.
You're
and so many
famous
more.
Famous Marco Riola.
Oh, we almost forgot Marco Riola. Have you ever gone
can't
to see the...
Can't forget him.
Well, I don't want to take too much time on this, because otherwise we'll go into two-way family favourites at this rate. But what it is, I met Marco, and he was busking outside Liverpool Museum, and I thought, that's a good gig. You know, you get more money that way.
Yeah.
And I got talking to him. And for someone playing Spanish classical guitar, he was Italian. And we got talking. I said, you know, I'd really like you to come and record something with me. He goes, any time you want, you call me. And so I called him, and we did a couple of things, one of which was You Are, You Are, which was, you know, this idea I had for a song, you know, which had been inspired by my friend Ray Ellis, which was, do you mind if I play this? You know, that kind of thing. And I thought it sounded vaguely Spanish, castanets and tapping. And he played wonderfully on that. And then there was also a thing called In Between Pauses, and that was September last year. And all of a sudden, there was an accelerated process. I've got to do this before, you know, the year's out. And in the event, I was just about on time, but I was trying to get the final cut mastered and trying to get... And then I started Judith's album project.
Right.
And so there's like an overlap of about 3 months between the two, isn't
there? Okay.
So everything...
So there's a lot going on then.
Yeah, but you know what? I knew it had to be ready when I wanted it ready.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, when I looked at it, and it was like, have I done that? You know, it's never mind the biggest gig you could play in your life. I mean, this is something which is your legacy, and people are going to hear this, and whether you stand or fall, people either like it or don't. I hope they like it.
No, I'm sure they do. I've been very impressed with what I've heard from it, and I say we've been playing the songs here.
As far away as Australia as well.
Yeah.
Starts.
Oh yes. And,
all my relations are in Australia, and they follow his music.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very
but
good.
The only problem is, though, is that I only get to hear about it because someone will send me like a short message and think, oh, it's been played on Mally Border Radio or
really? Something. Really? Wow. Okay, so you're going to play some songs for us tonight. So
yeah, sure.
If you want to introduce what you're going to do for us first.
Okay, Cliff. Right. The first one is actually my tribute to some of the friends I met in the Wirral, including Judith, who's from Wallasey. And I had this idea, you know, of a riff, but I didn't have the words. I had a different set of words called Upside Down World. And I thought, it isn't really going anywhere. And then Judas said, why don't you write a song about Hamilton Square?
Okay.
And I thought, there's Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields, Hamilton Square, right? So, anyway, for those of you who, you know, care, and for those of you who hopefully will care, this is what it sounds like. Are you ready?
Okay.
Right, here we go, Hamilton Square. Music excites me and moves me along now. Never a time I don't feel it to be so. Words in my head and a song on my lips. Stand in front of the crowd and I'm ready to go. Be with my pals and we all have a laugh. Every hour a pleasure, every moment a savor. Whether folk rock or blues or acoustic or jazz, all songs are a meal and each has its own flavor. Across the river, hear the voice calling me. We're on that train, always takes me right there.
With a spring in my step, a guitar on my back, to that fantastic place called Hamilton Square. If music is what will bring us together, entertaining forever ago, we listen and learn and we love to go playing. It's all in the heart and the soul. We finish and wind up but never stop talking. Everyone's gone and the city says hush. We'll have a Mackey's and always go walking. Coming down from our musical adrenaline rush. Across the river, hear the voice calling me. Where all that train always takes me right there. With a spring in my step, a guitar on my back, to that fantastic place called Hamilton Square. To that fantastic place called Hamilton Square. To that fantastic place called Hamilton Square. Hamilton Square. Hamilton Square. Hamilton Square.
Thank you so much, Andrew. That was Hamilton Square, live here on McGull Radio tonight. And yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy that one.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I've got a couple of messages coming in already, so I'll read these out for you. First of all, Andy Gamble says hello, and I know that you know Andy, obviously, from Searching, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, what a good guy he is, so...
A brilliant guy. A very, very big supporter of our band, the Waltons, but also of me personally, and it's great to hear from
him. Tell him I love him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Hope the family's all right. I love him. Oh, yeah. Andy, you're just gathering your fan club.
don't make his head any bigger than it is, you know. Okay, right, Andrew, here's a question for you. This is from Mike. This is my brother.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Mike.
You know Mike from Searching. He says, does he ever regret not getting together with Searching and tell him I said hello, and good to hear him doing his own stuff?
Mike can say something. There are times I do, but at the same time, life is a funny thing. It's a journey, and sometimes you don't take a stop, but there might be another time further down that you might do. And I think that my life certainly wouldn't have been different, because I may not have actually been able to do some of the things which I was able to do by recording something. It's a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, I think Searching are a brilliant band.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point in the future, who knows? But I do think they're brilliant as they are. And
yeah.
I wish the drummer a whole load of luck. I know he works very hard.
I saw him for the first time on Saturday, a guy called Mitch, and I thought he did great because... As I said a little earlier, he was thrown in at the deep end. He was given a bunch of songs pretty much the night before, laying them. Now, obviously, he probably knew some of them that he's probably played before, but I would suspect there's an awful lot in there that he didn't know. And I think he coped really well. It's the pressure of playing with Searching, who've had some really good press, some big gigs, and who are quite well known. So it's a little, must have been a bit daunting for him, but I thought he did great.
One thing which I thought was very... prescient, really. I think Andy will certainly remember this. There was a thing where they did, I think it was the McGull show. I know McGull Radio were there.
Yeah.
And what had happened was the rain had held off, right? But when I actually got on, right, where the band were ready to go on, the heavens opened.
It was horrendous. I was there.
Yeah. The truck, and we went... You know, everyone's looking and going, we can't do this.
Yeah.
So we didn't play, But the one thing was, it gave us a chance to talk to our bandmates and stuff, you know, which was, you know, what you do.
Yeah.
I say musicians don't get often a chance to talk an awful lot.
No.
But
no.
Searching always great value. And I saw them at the Cadwa at one of the Christmas twos.
Ah, right, yeah.
And the one thing about them is the presentation's top notch. You have to,
yeah.
If you haven't seen them yet, mate, you have to go and see them.
Comes
and I
across,
know you have.
Yeah, it comes across. I've been lucky enough to be on stage with them, so I know from first hand. Top band, but anyway, they've got big enough heads. We won't make their heads any bigger. We're here to talk about you and what you do. So that was a great that was a great song you played for us. So that's from your CD.
That is. I mean, the one thing about the CD is I've not gone for an approach of something for everybody, but take it as read that there's enough of a change. There's like the rule of three that some musicians use, and that you have two songs at one time, and then you turn a corner,
yeah.
And then you do two songs enough time for that, and then you turn a corner. So the whole idea is it's meant to go round, well, rather like a record or CD, okay. I suppose. But the approach is that it's enough to maintain your interest.
Yeah.
And as it's my first formal CD, mm-hmm. it's only about 38 minutes long, because of course, if I put on like a whole hour, people are going to go, oh.
Yeah.
Let's break the journey and go from McDonald's or something. Yeah.
Well, there's I think there's about 10 songs on it, if I remember yep. rightly. So it's and if anybody's interested, they want to try and get hold of it any moment now.
Any moment now. Yeah,
yeah, and they can get hold of that from yourself. If you, I know you've got a Facebook page. Can they can get in touch with you?
Yes,
on there.
Of course, they'd be very welcome. I mean, it costs £5 and a lot of kisses on the back for you.
That's a bargain.
If you pay £10, or even include like sort of, I don't know, a couple of, you know, cos lettuces or something, I'll find some bonus for you, you know.
Oh, well, yeah. These days it's so difficult to get your music out there. I mean, everybody that I've had on here have all said the same kind of thing. And there's no real money to be made in it these days.
No.
I mean,
what you're better off doing is doing live gigs and having a CD. And then what you do is you use the live gig, let's be honest, you have to use the live gig as a way of promoting your music.
Of
and
course.
Saying, if you want to buy my CD, there are copies at the back.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I've probably given away more than I've sold, but the whole idea is I wanted people to hear the
music. You're getting it out there, though, aren't you? That's the thing. Sometimes it's a bit of a loss leader, isn't it? But in the long run, you know, if you can hook people in and they'll like what they've listened to, they'll come back again, they'll go and see you, maybe they'll buy what you've got coming out again.
I think some of the most gratifying remarks have actually come from some of my friends who said, if you're ever going to do that song, can I come and help you record it? And it's like, I've always thought that I was always a bit shy about my abilities, but I was always a little bit reserved about who I involved. And then all of a sudden, people came towards me and wanted to do it.
Right.
And it's ended up where I've got, you know, there's another person I never mentioned before, John Hall, who you might have heard of, Herringbone John and the Kipper Doctors. It's only him. But he's a great blues player, and he went, oh, I'll come and play. You know, he's an example of somebody who really needs to break out.
Right.
People need to hear more of him. But he works hard at it, and he does all sorts of mad gigs and stuff. But he's great. He really is. And I've been a friend of his now for a few years. And we occasionally get together as a rock band and have a bit of a laugh, you know. And there's other people who unfortunately couldn't, you know, get over. I mean, at the time I was recording one track, David Neville King was around. But unfortunately, he couldn't do it for personal reasons, family reasons. And I wanted sort of a softer approach to something I was recording. So, I mean, I missed that. But, hey, there's another album going to be recorded. Yeah. They'll be on it.
Yeah, cool.
And the only thing I wish I had is I wish I had the money to access something like, you know, a mega studio, sort of a recording in Parr Street.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, it was lovely. But to me, it lacked a little bit of a cosy, homely thing, you know. It's a great studio, by the way. I wouldn't knock it.
Yeah.
Because we did a recitation of Judith's there in June, but it doesn't mean we wouldn't want to go back and do it. And there's a lovely little studio called Scratch Studio in West Derby.
All right.
Scratch Studio is set up in someone's house by a guy called Adam Trevor, and he's great. And there's also the Valley Music Theatre in Chilwell. But the whole idea is you've got different sort of approaches. The only wish I have is that I could actually set up permanently in my house, but I've only got a room probably one third the size of our studio here, and I don't think I could fit it in. I'd end up using
cool,
the bathroom as an echo chamber.
I'd be good though, wouldn't it? I mean, it's funny though, because to be honest, I mean, I was listening to Paul McCartney talking last week on something, and he was saying he used to, they were going into his old house, and he was saying he used to do most of the stuff in the bathroom because the acoustics are the best in there.
Well, one of the things I did...
We tried that.
I had a condenser microphone. You know, I bought this condenser microphone off an auction site, and it was a Chinese-made thing. You know, it was one of these omnidirectional.
All right, yeah.
And I kept on saying, right, what I want you to do, and we had the... you know, things similar to that, you know, the pop shield on it. And what happened was that because I was trying to use the bathroom, the natural echo, and it was like, I can't stand doing this.
I was wedged between the toilet and the wash basin for an hour.
And I'm going, do it again. Do what? Because I was laying the bit as well, you know. I was laying the bit. But I like doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I think you've got to like... doing things, you've got to actually pursue them. I mean, there's a track I've recorded a demo of, a Christmas song called Snow Angel. It's actually a story, and it's a story I told to some of the children at Alder Hey last year.
Nice.
I actually sat down and said, here's a little song I want to tell you about. And all of a sudden, it was like, when I recorded the demo, a friend of mine, Mark Slater, said, you know, how are you doing? I said, fine. I said, do you still have a theremin? Yeah. Can I borrow it? Have you ever tried to control a theremin? A theremin's got one thing for pitch and one thing for volume. It's like Midsummer Murders. And all I heard from my neighbours was, what the heck is that? But I wanted to make like sort of whooping sounds. I won't explain the song, but the things in the song that required that kind of effect. And that's one thing. I mean, I actually have played a acoustic bass guitar with a specially built bridge with a bow.
Right.
Because I used to play, you know, a bit of a double bass at school. Mm-hmm. So it ended up where people thought, oh, it's Andy recording again. Never mind. You know, but I was trying to get effects, you know, trying to get something different into it.
Yeah.
And the couple of instruments I played, you know, apart from carm box and things like that, I also played ukulele on the finger of Judas.
Right.
And I've got a mandolin there as well.
Banjo.
Multi-talented.
Yeah, I've got the banjo.
And I've also got a resonator guitar to play.
I need to get him to learn the sax now. I'm
asthmatic. How can I do that?
Right, I've got Andy Gamble has been on, and he says, Hamilton Square, one of his personal best favourite songs, and he's got a quick question. What instrument do you prefer to play and to say hello to the lovely Judith?
Well, Thank you, Andy. Hello, darling.
Right, Andy, how much is it this time? 10, 20, you know, what is it, mate? Can I just say, Andy, you know, thank you very much as always, and thank you for your kind words about Hamilton Square. My personal best instrument is actually, I like playing the bass because I like being part of the rhythm section of a band. I never wanted to be up front. I never wanted to be in front. I would have been happy to be, you know, second chair guitarist, but unfortunately, oh, go on, you look the youngest, you get to the front. And I was always very reluctant about it, even to the point of where I wore dark glasses at some of the first gigs so people couldn't look at me in the eye.
Go on.
But... no, I do like, basically, I do like 12-string guitar, but the problem is they're hard to keep in tune.
Mm.
But I fell in love with guitar again because I bought this thing after Christmas.
It looks pretty nice, I love that.
It's cool. For those of you who can't see, here, have a look. Here,
I'm going to do the next little bit on Facebook Live so people will get a little look at your guitar. So if you're listening in now as well and you've got Facebook, Andy, in about a minute's time, if you want to have a little look on the Radio Facebook page, oh, no, actually, it's probably going to be on my Facebook page, you will see this live as well, so in about a minute's time. So you'll see this wonderful guitar.
Okay, and as I say, it's basically a copy of an Adamas, which is like an Ovation guitar, but I really like it.
Yeah.
Primarily because it's so light, and also because it has a different sound, because the sound holes. Someone said it looks like a bad case of woodworm. It's just, you know, floral sound holes and all that, you know. Nice. It's a nice guitar.
Cool. Oh, it looks pretty cool to me. If you just give us a second, I'm just going to have a look if I can get this to go on Facebook Live in a minute for us, because you're going to do another song for us in a second's time.
Yes, sure.
Let's have a little look. Yeah, let's get this up here. Okay, so if anybody who is listening tonight, and I know there are a fair few, Dave Hughes is listening as well, and Dave says he loves Hamilton Square. He thought it was a great song as well.
Dave, if you can get a message to Cliff's Facebook page, I'm on Facebook anyway, will you send me a message, mate, so I'll get a copy of the CD to you.
Oh, there you go. How cool is that? Okay, and so I must say that Dave Hughes is one of our presenters, by the way, as well, and he does a show on Thursday.
That's because all your presenters are well-meaning, intelligent, and very discerning. I'm quite pleased about that.
Right, okay, so it's time for another song, and I say we are going to go live. This is going to be on Mughal Radio's Facebook page, so for those of you who would like to have a little look at this session as it happens, as well as listening on Mughal Radio, if you want to go to the Mughal Radio Facebook page, we are now going to go live. No pressure, Andrew, for this next song. So if you'd like to introduce it for us, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. This is this was inspired by a couple of watercolour paintings I saw, one of which was very, very romantic, and in fact it is called Watercolour.
Okay.
You know what? You know, sometimes you have to tune for... I walked with you into a meadow, sun was high in the sky. We were starry-eyed and laughing, but a cloud went by. Then the rains came, washed the sun away, didn't have a coat to wear. Then we ran into a shelter, noticed your blonde hair. I looked into your blue eyes, saw the sun once again. The moment seemed to be ours alone, preserved within a frame. And the evening came, moment passed, heliotrope lingered in the air. Was the summer kind of mellow, crawling all those years? You disappeared like a daydream, no image of you remains. The memory seems to be ours alone, like the sun and the rain. So beautiful and far away, closed my eyes and wondered where you'd gone. The love we made I still remember as the years roll on.
Absolutely brilliant. So you're listening to Mughal Radio, and that was Andrew Hesford live on Radio with Watercolour. Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. So thank you very much. And we have got a few people who are watching this live as well. Midnight Daisies.
Midnight Daisies.
Yep.
Hello. How are you, Freya? That's Freya, Linda, and Paula. Paula's actually drummed with the Andrew Hesford band, man.
Right, cool.
But the one thing about Midnight Daisies, it used to be called Serenity.
Okay.
They're a wonderful band. I mean, I don't know if you've had them here yet, but they wrote this great song which was constructed around the story of World War One. And if you get a chance, you know, do bring them in.
Okay.
But it's like even the packaging, it looked like a letter written to somebody, you know, about how we're going to get married and have the best ham money you can buy. I mean, that seems quite, you know, it's a bit pathos, really, but that's how people measured how prosperous you were, during the First World War, that you would have have a big ham, a boiled ham. Yes. But they are the great, the lovely people.
I will take that as an invitation for you guys. If you want to get in touch with me and come on the show, I'm sure Andrew will get you in touch there. Okay. Andy Gamble's put a message in. Hi, Midnight Daisies. I believe you're playing at the Oldie on Tuesday soon. Okay. Okay. Andy Gamble, you're not using my show to promote your Oldie Gobble. What have they done that for you?
Free advertising.
Free advertising.
You've got people here, can't you?
Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, I always give them a shout anyway. So well, I must say, what they're doing there at the Oldie on a Tuesday is pretty cool. It's an open mic night. It's free to get in, and people can go along and see so many great local singers, songwriters, and bands and playing.
I think also we need places like that. I mean, there's a guy who's involved in that, Wally Shepherd.
Oh,
Wally
Shepherd
had been in Ale Pressing and TT's, and in fact, I worked with his wife, Kay. And
okay.
Nicky still works in our place too. But the one thing about Wally is he's someone with stories to tell. There was a documentary from 1963, Beat City, where Ale Pressing and TT's are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it into work and said, Kay, do you know anything about this? He goes, no, Bonte, that's me in the audience.
Wow.
And that was Wally, who was a left-handed bass player. Still is.
I know. Well, he played bass with Searching for a little while as well.
He's a great fella.
Bit of a time,
but,
yeah.
I mean, she saw the Beatles.
Really?
In Melbourne, 1964.
How cool is that?
And she's in, you know, the 8 days a week, the Beatles movie?
Yeah.
She's in that. She's actually in Colorado.
Had a big white coat on.
Really?
And a white coat shows up.
And, oh, man.
Yeah, it was only about 5 minutes into the film. And then
yeah, and then she said, what? And I said, no, you better look at this. And we found the original black and white tape, which someone put on YouTube.
And
And I said, I mean, I was saying, who have you seen live? She goes, the Beatles. I'm going, I'm the biggest Beatles
fan.
That's
a great starting point, isn't it?
Well, have you seen the Beatles? Anything about it at the time. Just went along with what was happening. When I was a student.
It's funny because I think a lot of people at that time were probably just taken in by not knowing who they were or how big they would be. I always remember my auntie used to go and see them in the Cavern at lunchtime when she worked in town. And again, they were unknowns really then. They were just going and plying the trade. And
but the joke was, I was a Brian Poole and the Tremolos fan.
Oh,
I had
right.
to go to a Beatles concert. It was like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
And it was only years later, he nearly had a stroke when I said, I've seen the Beatles.
Wow.
And
I actually did the research and I said, are you sure it wasn't June the 17th, 1964?
Well, it had to be in the middle of winter in Australia because I had my big white coat on.
Wow.
But there's an even more strange thing about it. The band who got the contract that the Beatles were turned down for at Decca were Brian Poole and the Tremolos.
Really?
So as you can imagine, when she said, will you record the song for my daughter? It was a version of Someone, Someone. I was like, I suppose I better add, really.
Her wedding day, yeah.
Yeah, her wedding day, yeah.
Wow.
Which is not on the album. It's just like, I think it's still on SoundCloud, that really, isn't
okay.
it? But it might be on the next album, which is called Players Wait.
I might let you put it on mine.
Yeah.
I might.
You've got your own album to do. It's, but as I say, I mean, can I ask you a question?
You can.
Everyone, you've asked loads of questions. If you could play the type of music, I mean, as a musician, as opposed to being a radio presenter, what type of music would you play, you know, if you were a musician, if you were in the seat here rather than me?
To be honest, my tastes are far and wide. Anyone who listens to the show will know that I play anything from ABBA to the Zombies, but anywhere in between that. I mean, my band are the Stranglers. That's who I follow.
I love the Stranglers.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's for me.
Imagine in school, there's all these people. London Lady was a great favourite.
Oh,
it was
people
when I was in fifth year at Brookfield School in Kirby.
Right.
But the other one was like, you've got all these people like sort of, big girl in a red dress, she's trying to impress. She's just hanging around.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, you know, being the envy of my mates for getting this vinyl single from the States, which was the lead track, and it was Something Better Change, but it was in Pink Splash vinyl.
Ah, right, I've got
and
it.
You can't, you can't get a copy for Love Nor Money now, but I bought it. But I was 16 at the time the punk and new wave came out, so for me, I absorbed it, but I still went for very traditional influences as well. And I told someone in another radio interview, and he looked at me as if I crawled off a cum. I really like this, and he said, "What do you really like? Musical?"
What?
You what? But I do, because you get somebody who would be entertained and they had the timing right because they've done it for years. But also, if you look at a lot of songs, a lot of pop songs using musical approach, I mean, Country House by Blur, for example, or even Oasis, The Importance of Being an Idol. And, of course, the Kinks, when they were doing Dedicated Follower of Fashion. So they all use a musical influence.
There's loads of influences like that. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint down to one. I play a bit of everything on here, as anyone who listens to the show will know. I mean, it's if I was to sit here and just play either songs by the Stranglers or around that era, I don't think it'd have the same sort of effect. I don't think I'd have the same.
I think the only
business.
One you couldn't play would be La Folie. You know, because you think about La Folie, there's a few people did tracks around that. And he also touched on it on Rocket to the Moon, the B-side of 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I was a Stranglers fan as well.
Yeah, La Folie was a massive own goal. And that was just them being really sticking by the guns. And they were
doing a French song about cannibalism, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had a massive hit with Golden Brown, and they should have followed it up with Tramp, which was the obvious single from La Folie.
Well,
but The Stranglers being the Stranglers never do anything obvious. In fact, they really, do the opposite.
They were really a new wave band with progressive leanings.
They were, They were different. They didn't fit in anywhere, I don't think. You couldn't... They were sort of on the end, the coattails of the punk, but they weren't a punk band. They were so different.
You know what distressed me? I went to see the Stranglers a few years ago and Jet Black wasn't very well.
No.
And he was going off and someone had taken over drums. He was going off. And I found out he was going on the side, taking a few breaths of oxygen and going back on.
Yeah.
He wasn't well at all.
No. He done well to carry on as long as he did. I mean, the drummer they've got now is a fellow called Jim McCauley, who is amazing. He's a real good drummer. And he's kept the band going because, you know, everyone said, oh, when Jack goes, that's the end of the Stranglers. But I'm glad to say it's not the case. And they've actually got a new album coming out next year. So
I know, but you've got to admire a man who's... The reason why he practiced with Jeff, you know, home is because he has an off licence.
I know. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
We're all well tuned into the Stranglers Information Service here, aren't we?
I know. So this is the Stranglers Information Service here live on Mobile Radio for anyone who's listening. So, Andrew, it's been absolutely brilliant having you in tonight, and time has almost beaten us.
We'd like
one more song if we can squeeze that out of you.
Okay, right. This one was dedicated, I wrote this in November 2015. It's dedicated to the people who were killed and injured in Paris in 2015. But also, it was rededicated after the Ariana Grande concert, you know, which we all know the outcomes of that in May of 2017.
Okay.
It's called Love Will Set Us Free.
Okay.
No comfort to offer you, no words I can say about the shock and the heartbreak that happened yesterday. Shake my head in disbelief at the pictures in the news. Use readers to stand to deliver media views. Some things we don't yet know, detail we cannot see, but we believe in love. For love will set us free. Fans love to hear music, it unites them every time. Songs for their enjoyment, strong in rhythm and in rhyme. Chaos was so sudden, brightening in its scale. All of us in our despair felt our attempt at peace did fail. There are things we don't yet know, detail we cannot see, but we believe in love. For love will set us free. Do we learn from what we fear? A tired eternal vigilance. Our defenses become much higher to ensure we have a chance. In the end it won't work. War will need to cease. For our children and all of us, we must strive for peace. The things we don't yet know, detail we cannot see. We believe in love, for love will set us free. We believe in love, we believe in love. Love will set us free. We believe in love, we believe in love. Love will set us free. Love means we don't yet know, detail we cannot see. We believe in love, for love will set us free.
Absolutely brilliant. That was Love Will Set Us Free, live here on Muggle Radio with Andrew Hesford. Andrew, Judith, thank you so much for coming in tonight and being part of my show.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and also for extending such a warm welcome. And of course, if I'm doing any gigs around Liverpool, I hope you'll come along.
I certainly will do my best. And you can give us any details on any gigs that you do. By the way, I'll get them here over on the air.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to help Judith finish off her album project, and then I'm going to go out and do some gigs again. practice.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty cool, and what a great session that was. We had loads of comments, people saying how good that was tonight, and they've enjoyed it. So thank you to everybody who sent in comments, questions, and who've listened to our In Conversation series tonight on Muggle Radio.
And one more thing, if anyone who's listening in, if they would like a copy of the album, if they just link me on Facebook and give me their address or somewhere I can send it to, and I'll do that for them.
Superb. Thank
nice
you very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Judas. Really thanks, Andrew. That. Thank you.
This is Muggle Radio.